Kip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
With John Kennedy Motors Clonmel, the home of Toyota Hybrid in Tipperary. With incredible fuel economy and great finance offers, we are making the change even easier. Visit johnkennedymotors.ie. Toyota, built for a better world.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. Yeah, you're very welcome along as Ronan Quirk with you until 8 o'clock this evening. You can contact the show by text if you like, 083-311-3311. We're on the Tip FM Facebook page. If you prefer Twitter, our Twitter handle is at Tip FM Sport. But that text number again, 083-311-3311. An awful lot to talk about tonight with our footballers in action against Roscommon in the stadium yesterday, our hurlers in action against Waterford in the stadium on Saturday night, our ladies footballers in action in Ardfinnan against Laois, our camogie players in action in Gort against Galway, not to mention all the rugby that took place around the weekend, both in Paris and here locally in Tipperary. A big bumper weekend of football as well, with St. Michael's flying the flag in the FAI Junior Cup, and they're into the quarterfinals. A lot to cover between now and 8 o'clock. We've 50 minutes or so to bring you all those stories. If you want to text us, 083-311-3311. Well, on Saturday night in the stadium, Tip back on track is what the Examiner headline says. And certainly it was a much relieved Mick Ryan who spoke to Stephen Gleeson after the match on Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly that, Stephen. We needed to, I suppose if you looked at the match, and particularly the first half, we were sluggish. I thought the ball was just coming out way too easily out of our forward line. We weren't managing to make a stick. And I think, in fairness to the lads, they realised that themselves. They don't need us to tell them. But we saw a significant enough change in the second half in terms of they worked that little bit harder. And it makes a big difference. If you can just keep the ball in the area, you can engineer some scores. And our guys are particularly good at that, once you can keep the ball around.
What must be really pleasing for you is the attitude of players, the application. They're all getting stuck in. They're all fighting for every single ball. And once you see that, you know that you're in the right place.
Yeah, absolutely. And look at, it's the one thing that we're looking for out of the squad in 2018 is that, that absolute competition within the group. And, when they come together and we take on opposition, that we get that level of competition again, And it was great to see. And it came from several quarters. And look, a great committed bunch. They try really, really hard. And I suppose one of the other pleasing aspects is we got to use more of the panel tonight. And that's hugely, hugely important. So, and we've called that out good and early. That is the stated aim of this league, that we build this panel and give more fellas opportunities as we go through the five games as we possibly can.
That's brilliant to see the new guys putting up their hand for a place, the likes of Flynn, Alan Flynn there, and you've got Paddy Feehan, and you've these guys who really want to keep that jersey for the year.
Absolutely, that's the real barometer of the health of the group, an opportunity can be given to a young fella like that, and they try and take it with both hands. And look at, one swallow doesn't make a summer. Guy, this is going to be a longer process for everybody. And, we picked up a few injuries there tonight. We have a few ongoing injuries anyway. So when the squad gets healthy again, I'm really looking forward to watch the competition unfold.
Wexford up next now, a couple of weeks, so you'll have a breather, maybe a bit of training. What's the plan for the next fortnight?
Yeah, well, exactly that, Stephen. We're going to work hard next week. Obviously, you'll allow the lads recover from tonight. But it is a work week. And we'll taper down a little bit. You just can't do the same work week on week with these guys. So we'll taper down the week of the Wexford game. But look, it's a balancing act. We have to be ready to when Wexford will come to town, they'll bring all the excitement and enthusiasm and quality hurling that they've been bringing for since Davey moved down there. So we're looking forward to welcoming Wexford to town.
That's Stephen Gleeson speaking to Michael Ryan after the game in the stadium on Saturday night. 120 to Tipperary, 111 to Waterford. It finished. Ken Hogan's on the line. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ronan. How are you?
A sluggish start, but I think Tip went through the gears when they had to in the second half.
Yeah, well, it was quite a difficult breeze there in the first half, I felt, and maybe Waterford suffered from that more than Tip. It was a wise decision if we had won the toss, because Waterford's shooting was definitely off key in the first half. The balls were going wide in the stand side, the old stand side, a lot. But in the second half, our top-class players, showed what they were made of. We took some great scores. 120, I was delighted when Ronan Maher got the last point, because it's always nice to put 20 points on the board rolling, no matter what type of game you're playing. And judging from what Mick was saying there, you know, there's a positive feeling there about it. It's two important points. It's all about survival, but it's also about showing, you know, that every player is worth his salt in that panel. And, you know, Paddy Feehan coming in, you know, a sluggish start from him as well, but what a fantastic second half. He really came into the game smart with the ball, quick with the ball, and brave. And that's what you really need at this level, you know, to put your hand up.
Yeah, I mean, like, the paper today says Waterford were wasteful, but we were pretty wasteful too on occasion.
Yeah, I suppose Waterford were wasteful in the first half, but of course, you know, at this time of the year, like, you're still the first week in February.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And also, you know, the Fitzgibbon is going on. Lads are playing 2-3 games a week. I see in the paper today that Garrod, Hegarty from Limerick will be playing 5 important games in 9 days, you know. So from that perspective, you know, players are involved, and as Mick mentioned there, the heavy training has to be done as well. You know, you're preparing for the bigger picture here, you know, next May when you have 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
And so that's what it boils down to, Ronan, really, that we need at least, you know, 25, 26 top-class players ready for action next May, come 4 Sundays in a row.
You know, Jason Ford has had a number of opportunities with Tip. He's played in a number of positions from midfield, half-forward, inside forward line. That was a hell of a penalty he took.
Hell of a penalty he took, but I know Jason for quite a while now, and he's quite capable of doing that. More pleasing for me was his 2 outstanding points. One, an interception from the goal that he took from the goalkeeper. That showed how aware he was. But the one he scored in the first half, under pressure.
Over his shoulder.
Over his shoulder, but won it very well and snapped it in the hand. He is a class act, you know. And obviously people are worried about the situation with Shamey. It's going to be a while before he gets back into full fitness. So Jason is an adequate replacement there. John McGrath was back as well. Tremendous point, tremendous pass to Michael Breen for the goal. But more importantly, I suppose, as a team, the lads really worked pretty hard. Ronan Maher, who had been picked at number 7, went back out number 8. And I suppose Mick is looking at versatility as well. Guys have to play in different positions, you know. Paddy's back at centre-back in his club position. He still can play left half-back. Thankfully, you know, at times he can play full-back. He was an all-star full-back. And these are the type of players you need, players that are going to adopt in different circumstances.
Yeah, Paddy Feehan, as you mentioned, and you referenced him, but like the injury count as well, and it was inevitable really with the way the games and the way the league is structured that we are going to have a bit of an injury issue over the course of the spring. It looks like Joe Dwyer may have broken a thumb. There was a groin issue with Kyle Barrett that prevented him from starting. Dan also got a knee injury.
Yeah, and in my 3 years involved in 21s, probably one of my favourite players, if I had one, was Joe Dwyer. He had a fantastic work ethic. He really wants to play with Tipperary. He has great stuff. He started brilliantly against Waterford, you know, and here he is now with a fractured thumb, a broken thumb, which can be picked up quite easily this time of the year. And I'm just disappointed for him getting that setback.
How long does it take to get that back from that?
That's at least a 6-week injury, Tom. You know, it's a major, you know, so from that point of view, it's just disappointing for Joe because he has had that setback before and he's really, you know, itching to make it. But also, you know, Dan McCormack won the first 2 balls of the game, won a great free for our first score, got hurt. But I think Dan's isn't quite as serious. But having said that, it's an injury that I'm sure Dan didn't want to pick up at this time of the year. So you're going to pick up injuries, like, and this is what's going to happen as well come May. You know, 75 minutes of hard championship hurling in the first round against Limerick. And then you have to turn around and you're getting ready for the following Sunday. So you can see where the management are coming from, Roland, as regards preparing guys for the tough battles ahead.
This is going to be a heavy week, I'd say, for them from a strength and conditioning point of view, would you imagine? Because it's an opportunity to shoehorn in some physical work because you don't have a game Sunday.
Yeah, well, you know, the script always says train smart, Ronan. And, you know, Mick alluded to it there as well. You know, you have to take him. He'll be training players that need hard training, that need that conditioning. But also he'll be looking at players and saying, well, these guys have done enough. They're playing probably Fitzgibbon hurling this week as well. Fitzgibbon qualifiers down. And then you got to think of the Paddy Maher, you know, who has a heavy workload all the time. Like, realistically, we can't expect Paddy to line out every consecutive game in the league and come fresh into a championship. So from that perspective, it's going to be, you know, pretty demanding for the management as well, just to put everything into place. We've got to be competitive in the league. It's our want that we'd like to go and win every game. But having said that, every player's got to get the opportunity. And Mick has stressed that more than one occasion.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see in a fortnight's time. We learn something every day with Tip, and we'll probably learn more against Davies Wexford, who come to the stadium undefeated.
Yeah, and he'll be buoyant, and of course there'll be a little spring in his step as well, you know, particularly after the circumstances of last year. There was such a fuss made of the match in Wexford last year when they were beaten in the quarter-final. Mm. So they'll come out gunning. They want to win the pints. Davy sees titles, you know, in the sky from the point of view that Wexford, you know, have to go to win everything. They will be going gung-ho for the league. And in fairness to Wexford, they did win four Leinster Under 21 titles in a row, and they have a number of players that are well able to play at the level that Davy is looking for. So from that perspective, people writing off Wexford at their peril, because these guys are well able to play, they're well able to hurl, and more importantly, he has a strong squad there. He's building up a big, strong squad, and Jack Guiney came on as a sub yesterday and did very well. So he left him in reserve. So from their point of view, they'll come down to Wexford, playing in the best pitch in the country, and they'll be out to prove a point as well.
We'll learn more in due course. Always good talking to you, Ken. I'll let you back.
Come on, Roland.
I'd say it's freezing wherever you are. Frozen.
It's hardy. It is hardy, but look, that's what it's all about. Get out and enjoy it.
Good man, Ken. Talk soon.
Cheers, Roland. Bye-bye.
That's Ken Hogan on the side of a pitch somewhere. And enjoying himself by the sound of things. Anyway, just before we go to a break, let's hear from Brendan Maher. He also spoke to Stephen Gleeson after the full-time whistle in Semple Stadium on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was great to get 2 points on the board after last week's defeat. You know, we were anxious to put in a performance here in front of the home crowd, like our first home game. So it wasn't pretty at times, but you know, the conditions this year, that's the way it is. Like, so you know, we upped it up a fair percentage there in the second half, and lads started firing, and you know, there's some great scores got. So it's a good 2 points.
That's a good guys showing up as well, new guys on the block. You need that as the year goes on. Alan Flynn there playing very well as well. A lot of subs coming on, the likes of Paul Shanahan, Keane Darcy. Great kick game time.
Yeah, I think the big one for me tonight was Paddy Feehan there, wing back. Literally got called there in the warm up. Cahill Barrett just didn't make it through the warm up, wasn't fit to play, so Paddy got the call up very last minute. And in fairness to him, he's very young, and he came in there and he had a powerful display.
And second half there, you just went through the gears, and nice to hit those long range points, some great points from Ronan out the field. The shooting long distance is it's going very well for Tip, and it's something you need to kind of change the game for the opponents as well.
Yeah, I think you know, the way we've played over the years, I suppose we've been a team that has moved the ball very quickly and maybe a lot into our full forward line. So you know, we need to have variety in our play, and that's what we're trying to work on, and we have the shooters there. So we're trying to play to those strengths as well as the threat inside. So you know, a mix is what you need when you're coming up against teams as good as Watford, you know.
Wexford in as well, and new teams all the time, and you're getting to play all these teams as games so fast this time of year.
Yeah, we've 2 weeks now to look forward to another Saturday night game, which is great, and hopefully I know tonight was bitterly cold and the attendance was good considering the conditions, but you know, we'll hope that you know, another bit of a crowd will come out and support us, because that gives us a huge lift, and it's great to play in front of our home supporters. So I hope they come out now the next night.
With Ronan Quirk.
With John Kennedy Motors Clonmel, the home of Toyota Hybrid in Tipperary. With incredible fuel economy and great finance offers, we are making the change even easier. Visit johnkennedymotors.ie. Toyota, built for a better world.
Our text number is 083-311-3311. One texter says, I don't like to criticise the Tip footballers, but I feel they need to start becoming more cynical. Start fouling out the field to slow the game when a team gets a run on them. They had the game won twice yesterday and they let Roscommon back into the game. Well, that's the team that's kind of reflected in the papers today. Cairns shocked by Rossi's resurrection. It finished Roscommon 1-17, Tipperary 3-9. And Liam Cairns was in sanguine mood when he spoke to Stephen Gleeson after the full-time whistle.
Yeah, unfortunately we got a harsh lesson there today now, and it's a hard defeat to take, but you know, we've got to take it and get on with it. We've got another game again in a week's time, and you know, I have a load of fellas playing Sigerson football this week as well, so the games are coming thick and fast. We can't afford to be feeling sorry for ourselves. We just have to get on with it.
And what happened there in the last few minutes? You were looked like you were cruising at one stage and just conceded 1-5 in the space of a couple of minutes, really 5 minutes or so, and the whole game changed.
Well, we conceded the goal and that put them back within 2 points of us. And in fairness, and they kicked a couple of monstrous scores from out the field in the last, and they had the momentum at that stage and they were coming at us. And you've got to give credit to Roscommon as well. I thought two or three of the points were monstrous. They were from way out the field, and once they got a smell of it, they took their chance. So fair play to them.
Makes a kind of where we all stand at the moment. We're all mid-table all of a sudden. If you had 4 points now, you'd be in a much better place. But Clare just around the corner now, and you know, that game is turned into to a more important game, really, than it would have been had you won today?
It was still important. You know, every game is important in this division. I'm not, you know, whatever the result, we'll just carry on. You know, you've got to keep going. That's it. As I said, we weren't getting carried away with the win against Cork last week, and we're not getting carried away with the loss today either. We played well. We've played well in both games. I'd be very happy with the overall, but I wouldn't be happy with the finish. And, you know, the players know that. I don't need to tell the players that. They know that they left themselves down in the finish, and that's the reality of it, you know. But as I say, credit to Roscommon as well, they got the job done.
We seem to be scoring freely up front, but we're conceding a lot at the back. It was 116 last week and again today, and maybe you just have to tighten it up, maybe a more defensive game at times.
Yeah, well, I thought we left a lot of scores behind us today now. I'd be disappointed. I don't know, what was it? Three, what do we get? 8 points? Or is that what we got? 8 points? That's not enough. You know, we got three goals, all right. We're getting goals, but we need to get more points than that. So, but certainly we're conceding too much. Yeah, 17 scores last week, and whatever it was, 18 scores this week, it's too much.
What's the plan now for the next week or so?
We're just recovery and get them back ready, get their heads right for another big game again next Saturday away from home. So there's no easy game in this division. That's it.
Liam Kearns, no easy game in this division. I'm joined on the line by Tom McGrath, who was our analyst on Sunday, and also firstly by Shane Stapleton, part of the management team. Good evening to you, Shane. How are you?
Hey, Ron, how are you?
Very well. I mean, I suppose Liam put it well there. He said that he doesn't need to tell the team what went wrong in the latter stages of the game yesterday.
Yes, we've always said over the last few years that this thing is really player driven. The lads set high standards, and when we fall below them standards, let's say they'll take action about it. They played really, really well. It's a pity we didn't see it out. We worked on a lot of things. We did a long week's training during the week. Late night, Thursday night, with video analysis in terms of the Cork game, because even though we won, it didn't disguise a lot of the things that we weren't happy with. And I think we did a lot of these things right against Roscommon, and it's just a pity that that we didn't see it out.
I suppose the concession of 117 is, you won't win too many games if you concede 117. I don't know what we conceded against Cork, but it was a significant amount as well.
Yeah, I suppose, but even we weren't too worried about that coming into the latter stages. You know, we had a lead, and we were kind of thinking that without sitting back, you know, to be fair, I don't think we sit back. It was a long ball in that broke in around the square that caught us. But let's say, when we had a lead, we were confident that when Roscommon pushed at us, and if they kick great scores from outside, you know, like the left foot, right foot from outside 45, and you know, I think we would have held on if we didn't concede that goal, and we just have to learn from it. We broke up the field, and the ball didn't go dead in the far side. Keeper broke out with it, or Roscommon broke out, and. And we just didn't settle up. Would a foul have made a big difference? Maybe, but again, it was just a long delivery. Could have dealt with it better. And look, these are things that the mistakes we make. We're getting punished for every mistake we make here in Division 2, and there's only one way to learn, and that's the hard way.
Tom is with us. How are you, Tom?
Hello, Ronan.
Do we need to be more street smart?
Yeah, well, I suppose... The big thing about yesterday, I think, is that there's lessons to be learned from it. Like, and I think the lads are smart enough, and they've been through the thing, and they're together long enough. Like that, they will do that. I think that oftentimes, you know, you learn more from a defeat than a win. Like, and that yesterday, if we held out and won it, it might have glossed out or covered over some of the cracks that maybe were apparent. So, like I thought yesterday, now that we were a little bit goal hungry. Kind of that the goals were going to come, and there was a couple of handy chance of points, like, and that we could have taken them. Our wide count was low, but our points count was also low. I mean, 9 points is, you won't get 3 goals every day, right? We've got them twice in the league so far, but you're not going to get them every day. And 9 points on its own isn't going to win much, like, but. You know, you just need to be getting more of those. And there was some handy point chance I thought coughed up. Like.
I suppose there was a fisted point opportunity which would have put us 4 ahead, and that we didn't take that, and they go down the other end and get a goal.
Yeah, well, I suppose like it's hard to point a finger at poor Kevin. Like,
no, I wasn't pointing a finger.
Yeah,
I know, but I mean, I wasn't going to use the name.
It's difficult, like, but that's the way, like, personally in a situation. I mean, that's the facts are there was the chance, all right, like, but the first, like. Work rate had got Kevin into that position, give him 100 out of 100 for that, like, but just that not being used to being in that position, I suppose, like, and then the way the forwards had been going up to that, we had been going for the juggler, and it was typical of the way the team had been playing. I thought that Kevin still ploughed on in the hope that the chance would open up for to give somebody else to finish it, like, but it just didn't happen, and then they broke, and sort of said the rest is history, unfortunately.
It's interesting, Shane, reading Kevin McStay's quotes, because you could attribute them to either Kevin McStay or to Liam Kearns, because he says he was happy with the result. He says, it does not paper over the cracks that got us into the situation we were in, and it's something we'll have to look at this week. And I suppose he's coming away with it with a lot to learn from as well, no more so than ourselves.
Yeah, and I suppose that's kind of what Tom, I agree with what Tom is saying there, and let's say when Kevin McStay is saying that it wouldn't paper over the cracks, we're probably the same in terms of, like, even though we lost yesterday, you know, a few things we were working on during the week from the Cork game, you know, we'd be really, really happy about it, you know, so we'll take positives from that. You know, losing a league game is obviously disappointing. Losing at home is very, very disappointing, you know. But yeah, look, we'll see where we are after the Clare game. And if we had 4 points out of six, generally, you know, I think we would be happy enough. If we've only two points out of six, we're going to be really, really under pressure for the rest of the league.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a big game now. So thoughts this week? You've no real opportunity, I suppose, to do any hard work with the lads because the games come so thick and fast.
No, we were taking kind of a block of three games, and you know, let's say, like, we were, you know, I know we're kind of criticised yesterday for maybe not emptying the bench and getting fresh legs on there. You know, maybe now might be an opportunity to freshen things up. We did that last year. I think we kind of kept the same team for the first match against Antrim, the second game against Sligo, and then we threw in Emmett, Jack, Sleem, Casey in against Leash, and it worked a treat. You know, maybe we'll sit down tomorrow night and maybe look at something like that. But the lads were playing well yesterday, you know, and like Kevin McStay was making changes to try to quieten Brian Fox and Bill Maher and the lads around the middle of the field. And, you know, it just will have looked back now and watch the video over the next couple of days and just see how we are. I suppose Ken Hogan was saying it, Brendan and Michael Ryan were saying it. It's just a tough week in terms of colleges. So we're there's going to be very little work done in the field now. It's just about trying to freshen the legs and get over Sunday, and then we'll have a recount of 3 weeks' work.
Yeah, I've said it last week, I'll say it again. Liam Casey, it's not just to single him out, but it does reflect a stronger squad when you have the likes of him who's able to contribute like he has been.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I spoke to Liam before the Cork match, and I was kind of hoping he wasn't disappointed about not playing against Cork. And like he showed great maturity. He was saying, no, it's been a tough week with Sigerson, and you know that's he's putting in a massive massive effort into that, and he knows it's going to be a long year there, and he has a massive role to play, and we just have to get that balance right. Obviously, we're giving a lot of game time to Stephen O'Brien at the moment just to get him back in, but we have a lot of options around the middle of the field, and it's just about getting that balance right of who can play well with who, and you know maybe we need maybe a holding midfielder maybe a bit more at times, you know. And whether Liam did that very, very well in Cavan away last year. So, look, everyone has a role to play, and like we just have to keep everyone fit and everyone happy. Like when we win in Cork, all the panel are happy, and you know it's a great win and blah blah blah. Joe, when we lose then by a narrow margin, you know the subs and are going away. God, why didn't I get on? Or you know the fellas are outside in 26 to be saying right, I have to get in there next week. And so look, it'll be interesting, but we've a lot to learn. It was a harsh lesson to take, but the lads are good to learn, and they'll come back fighting.
Tom, last word with you. Shane was saying there about getting Stephen O'Brien back into it, and I suppose the same principle kind of applies to John Maher. Good to see him start on the edge of the square.
Yeah, like that's got a good hard nut in Kieran Lennon. He brought him out around the place, but you know John kept him outside him most of the time anyway. That would have tried to go around him a few times, but he shepherded him out, played smart on him, and didn't concede too many frees in that area either, which was good. But when the lads would have said there that at the end, Roscommon had to resort to, you know, shooting from distance, and they shot from distance with great action. The last point was a super score, and the outside the left boot, the line ball from Donny Smith, like was a super strike as well. But, like, I suppose a final thing there, 12 months ago, Roscommon were playing their trade in Division 1.
And they're, yes.
Tipper playing their trade in Division 3, and you know, like,
they're kind of the champions,
in between. But like, you just look at the overall thing, just look at the final outcome. Then forget about what happened in the 70 minutes. Roscommon by 2 points should about reflect, should have been regarded 12 months ago as a super performance from a Tipperary point of view. But the facts on the day, like, are totally different. That for 60 64, 65 minutes. We were five, six points in front and got caught in the run-in. But look, lessons there, lessons will be learned, and certain sure that. And onwards and upwards for next Sunday. Next Sunday is critical now, because the way the league works out with head-to-heads and all that type of stuff, that I think that it's a real four-pointer next Sunday.
Okay. Tom, I don't want to disagree with you, but just to put that to Shane, and I take Tom's point, Shane, like, you know, they're the Connacht champions, they were Division 1 last year, but, you know, we're eating at the top table now. You know, and like, I don't care if they're the Connacht champions. I don't care what division they're in. I want to go and beat Roscommon in Thurles.
Yeah, well, and that's what the lads would say. You know what I mean? Like we, you know, we didn't set any goals about getting promoted, or, you know, obviously everyone wants to stay in the division or any of that. But the players themselves, you know, they don't speak about it, but the players would fancy going toe to toe with, you know, with Roscommon, and let's say would fancy beating them. Do you know, we thought coming into the match that we would win it. You know, we thought at half time we're in a good position, we would win it. We thought with 3 minutes to go we would win it, and you know, and that won't change no matter who we play. But we're not going to get carried away. You know, we know that other teams think that, you know, let's say if we're conceding 116, 117, they're going to get chances, and if they could quieten our talented forwards, they will fancy beating us. But yeah, no, it look, and even, I suppose if Tom will know, even if we go back 1 year previous, we only stayed out of Division 4 on the last day. You know, so it's progress, and it's the same group of players. You know what I mean? There's like we've added a few fresh players and stuff, but hopefully they're only the start of a journey. I don't think this is the end by no means.
Listen, the best of luck in Ennis next. Not an easy place to go with a Tipperary jersey on you, let me tell you, to go into Ennis. So but anyway, the best of luck, and give it loads, and we'll talk to you next Monday night. Thanks, lads. Take it easy. Good luck.
Okay.
Thanks indeed. That's Tom McGrath and Shane Stapleton with reflections on events in the stadium yesterday. Roscommon 117, Tipperary 3-9. And I was thinking about it during the day. Sure, in 2011 when we went and won the All-Ireland Minor Final, I think we accounted for Roscommon along the way in a semi-final. Anyway, before I leave football, Jack Kennedy spoke to Tip FM after the game. Disappointed Jack Kennedy after that result, and particularly the manner in which it ended. He spoke to Stephen Gleeson in the immediate aftermath of the Tipperary defeat yesterday.
There's a lot of positives to take from it. Yeah, we dominated about 60 minutes of the game, I thought, and yeah, look, they just got a purple patch and they got a run, and we couldn't really stop them then, in fairness to them. Like, they have a lot of quality. I think the 20 we came on kicked a lot of good scores now, so yeah, in fairness, they're a serious team now, but we just couldn't handle them when they came running at us at the end.
You were doing things right for a long time in the game, and I suppose the pressure just came on. There was no time then to respond after they had the purple period at the right time.
Yeah, and we couldn't really get a short kickoff out, and they were winning the breaks in the midfield, and it was just relentless pressure there at the end. And yeah, they kicked some wonderful scores to go ahead now, so fair play to them, yeah.
Next up, you're looking at Clare, and that game is probably a little bit more significant all of a sudden, because you need those points again now.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose, yeah, just have to forget about the disappointment today now, and turn the focus straight away to Sunday now, and yeah, really just get back to what we're doing Tuesday, Thursday night now, and hopefully get a result now on Sunday.
Clare are a strong team as well, and you know them well.
Yeah, and especially going down to their home patch now, it'll be very difficult to get a win. So we'll have to work really hard now, and hopefully now we'll get the result.
Are you happy with how things are going with you in the camp? And you seem to have a strong panel to call on.
Yeah, I suppose yeah. There's you see even a couple of lads again today made good impacts off the bench, and things are going well. But yeah, I suppose just we're kind of conceding too many scores, and that seemed to be a problem now again today. But yeah, other than that, you see the attacking threat is there always, so if we can keep the opposition score down, we know we're going to score a lot, so I suppose yeah. But yeah, look, there's a lot of positives, so hopefully now we can push on next weekend.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk,
with John Kennedy Motors Clonmel, the home of Toyota Hybrid in Tipperary. With incredible fuel economy and great finance offers, we are making the change even easier. Visit johnkennedymotors.ie. Toyota, built for a better world.
Yeah, you can text us on 083-311-3311. We're also on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at Tip FM Sport. In Camogie, Tip went down in Gort to a relatively young and inexperienced Galway side. It finished Galway 2-10, Tipperary 1-10, and Tip have to go and place Cork next weekend, next time out in that National League 1B in the Camogie, and that's going to be a difficult task. We'll see how that one goes, but Tip ladies are absolutely flying at the moment. Shane Ronan is on the line. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Rowan.
5-14 to 1-5. Hell of a score in Ardfinnan. Welcome back to Ardfinnan, ladies.
Yeah, look, we're delighted with the way it went Saturday. You know, a comprehensive win and some very good performances, and we're just, you know, we're happy with the way things are going at the moment. We're going in the right direction, and we've had a good start to life in Division 2, and I suppose, look, Leash, we're down a few players on Saturday, so we wouldn't be getting too carried away with it, but we are very happy with where we are at the moment. So, you know, that's all I can ask for at the moment.
Reading the match report, there's one thing strikes me, is that even though you were fairly much in a dominant position, the work rate right up to the last, right up to the hooter, was pretty, you know, they didn't stop, they didn't ease off, the foot in the throttle the whole time.
Yeah, you know, I suppose Brian McDonald captured that very well in his report. The last goal, we spoke about that ourselves, you know, that the last score we got was involved in work of five subs, like, so, you know, they turned over the ball themselves and they worked it all the way up the field, and it was a sub that handled the ball for the whole move and ended up with Sarah Ever putting the ball in the net. And like, that was an injury time, and I suppose that typified the attitude that's there in the camp, and that everybody's willing to work hard. And, you know, we had set ourselves a target of winning the second half. We were well up at half time, and I suppose they, you know, that was the goal. And when you make lots of changes, the game becomes a bit ragged and things like that. And that's through no fault of anybody's. But I thought that player really did typify where we're at the moment. That the attitude is so good, and you know, really, really, really was a fantastic score. Like the way they got it. Like,
you don't sound overly surprised by your start in Division 2. It's almost as if this is where you think the girls are.
Well, I suppose, look, we were very happy with the way last year went, and we felt that there was more in them, and I don't think they even reached their potential last year, even though we won in All-Ireland. There's plenty of players, you know, who are maturing, and I thought our younger players are coming through, and the squad is getting stronger. And I think that you know, we had set ourselves targets for the league to try and get to league semi-final. I suppose maybe some people might have been thinking just to avoid relegation, but we were targeting a league semi-final, and the win above Armagh has really set us up for that. Like, you know, and I suppose you know, we're not surprised with how well we're doing, because we feel we're a very good caliber player in the camp, and you know, they're willing to do, and they're willing to do whatever's been asked, and they want to make the step up. Like, they're not happy to, you know, just have their All-Ireland last year. They want to progress, and they want to play against the best, and that's where we're aiming for. And the training has upped, and you know, the players are, I think, are stepping up to the mark, and I think they're playing with a bit of freedom as well this year. On a lot of pressure last year, the pressure to win, and we'd pressure from ourselves and pressure from outside the camp. We were expected to win the All-Ireland, kind of, you know, and I think that leads to a bit of a fear in the camp, and, you know, a fear of losing. And I suppose that's something that's not there at the moment, and they're playing with great freedom, and once they realised above in Armagh that they could compete with Armagh, then I think they played incredible football up there, and, you know, they really showed great heart that day up there. And again, they carried that through Saturday, and look, we hope that going up to Tyrone again this weekend that we can do the same and just keep the run going, and that's where we want to be. There's players fighting for spots, and we've got a couple of additions this year, and there's players playing very well, and we're just very happy at the moment.
Well, it's like having a conversation with Liam Kearns. You talk about the depth of the squad, but by the same token, you're also talking about the games coming thick and fast. So, you know, it's a big spin up to Tyrone, isn't it, next Sunday?
Saturday. Look, it's a long journey. We're traveling up to Dundalk on Saturday night, and you know, the board have been very good to us. You know, they're looking after us, and they were making sure that all our needs are being catered for, and hopefully the preparation will be right, and the girls will be good. But I suppose a lot of them have heavy schedules at the moment. There's girls playing Camogie with their college, and we've Orla with the county as well, and the girls are all playing O'Connell Cup football this week. You know, we've maybe 12 of the squad who are going to be involved in college games by Wednesday and Thursday. So, like, that's something we're trying to look at and manage, and hopefully they'll all come through those games. And I suppose there isn't much time for training. We're not doing a lot of training at the moment. It's just about getting things right, and I suppose we felt Saturday that, you know, especially in the second half, we wanted to work on things that we couldn't work on the training field at the moment, because the games are coming so thick and fast. We have a week off then the following week, so we may be able to iron out a few things that we need to do, but look, we're very happy where we are at the moment.
Always good talking to you, Shane. Continued success to you.
Thanks very much, Ron.
Not at all. That's Shane Ronan of the Tipperary Ladies. Tipperary 5-14, Laois 1-5. That's a result and a half. Good to see senior football back in Art Finnan as well. 083-311-3311 is our text number. At Tip FM Sport is our Twitter handle. What a weekend of rugby as well. Peter Silk from Cashel Rugby Club's on the line. Peter, how are you?
I'm very good, Ronan, thank you.
Good to speak to you. Let's speak about the Corinthians game, first of all, because it has really moved you up the table in Division 2A of the All-Ireland League.
Yeah, we've had a few very good wins and a few very good performances recently. Over the kind of latter part of last year and the earlier part of this year, we had home and away fixtures against teams that were all above us in the league. We got three home wins and three losses, but we got two bonus points against Nina. Fantastic game, fantastic performance, and really should have put that game away. We were 6 points up with a minute to go, and Nina held onto the ball for 10 minutes to score a converted try and beat us by a point. So, you know, that gave us great encouragement. We then beat Highfield, who were in second position, and Corinthians came on Saturday last. Now, when we went to Corinthians last November, they beat us 19 points to 8, and it wasn't a nice match. It was tough. There was a few red cards that had not on the Cashel side, and we weren't happy with what happened. So I think there was a huge determination among the squad and the coaching staff that we would put up a good performance at home, because we have a very young team, and a lot of the lads, I think, got kind of intimidated when we played in Galway. So there was a determination that we would reverse that result, and indeed they did it in style on Saturday.
And they scored 44 points. That's 44 points.
Now, you know, we were totally dominant. Our pack was absolutely outstanding. The backs ran the ball, and the pitch is very heavy at the moment after all the rain we've had. But, you know, they played a very attractive brand of football, played against a strong wind in the first half, and yet scored three tries and were winning 20 points to 3 at half-time. We got three tries in the second half, plus a penalty try, which would have been a try if one of the players kicked the ball through and he was tackled without the ball, so yeah. It was a penalty try. But a very, very good performance, and it does push us in now to the playoff position. We're in fourth at the moment. We've 5 matches left. And, you know, if we can maintain that, well, then we're in the playoffs, and who knows what can happen after that.
Just explain that, because Every year they seem to change the rules on me. So I'll ask you again: what decides promotion?
The top team in the division goes up automatically,
okay, right.
And the bottom team in the division above comes down automatically.
Okay.
Then the next three in the division, our division, will play the second last team, and the second last team in the division above, they go into 2 semi-finals and a final.
You know, okay. So that's currently Highfield, Nina and yourselves?
Well, Malone, we assume, will win the league.
Yes.
So they should go up automatically. They're way ahead of everybody else. Then you have Highfield in second, Nina in third, and we're in fourth.
Yes.
The teams, I'm not too sure who's above, but I know Dolphin are in bottom position. UL Bowes are third, and I'm not sure who's second last above. But say, whoever is second last would play the team in fourth in our division. And two plays three from our division.
Okay, I fully, thanks for explaining it to me, Peter. And but I'm looking at yourselves, Highfield and Nina. Like, there's virtually nothing between yourselves and Nina. Nina have had difficulty getting past Highfield. Highfield have done a double on them now, but you were able to account for Highfield. So it just shows you how competitive threesome is.
The way I look at it is, any team in that division can beat any other team. You know, Greystones were at the bottom there for a while. They had a few good wins. But everybody in the division is playing for something. The top team is obviously playing to win the league. The next two or three teams are winning to be in the playoffs. And it looks as if Nina and Highfield will be there anyway. Then it's for the fourth position. It's between ourselves, Queen's University and Armagh City. One of those three teams will be in the playoffs. And then the bottom four teams are trying to avoid relegation. So everybody has something to play for. Yeah. Nobody wants to be relegated. The second last team in our division will go into a playoff with the three teams from the division below that. So no team wants to be in that position.
Yeah.
So, you know, with a 10-team league, it used to be 16 teams prior to this. Or this is, I think, the third year of the 5 divisions. But, you know, with 16 teams, you'll always be two or three of them, and, you know, there'll always be one or two teams struggling. But when there's only 10, they're quite evenly matched. You have teams coming down from Division 1, you have teams coming up from Division 2B. So it's very, very competitive. You're right there in the middle, and it's a very, very competitive league. But look, we're very pleased with the performance of the lads, particularly in recent times. We missed the boat against Malone. We had them beaten here, a penalty decision, very deep into injury time, 6 minutes into injury time, beat us by 2 points. We should have beaten Nina. So, you know, with a little bit of luck, we could be a little bit further up the table. But look, we're very pleased with where we are at the moment.
I'm getting excited about that potential playoff if it includes two Tipperary teams, because the two games that you've played against Nina this year have been worth the admission fee alone. So I'd heartily recommend anyone to see if you do.
Well, there's great rivalry, and I must emphasise, it's a very friendly rivalry.
It is. It's in keeping rivalry with the great tradition of when you were junior clubs and you went toe-to-toe and all the rest. Peter, I got to go to Thurles. But it's good talking to you, and we'll talk again, my friend.
Thank you, Ronan.
Thanks indeed. That's Peter Sill from Cashel Rugby Club. I was going to talk to him about events in Paris, but I'm kind of running out of time. And the reason I'm running out of time is because I'm going to go to Joe Kennedy from the CCC. How are you, Joe?
I'm very well, Ronan. Good evening to you all.
Good evening to you. And we were talking last week about draws and all the rest, and one thing we didn't do was intermediate football, but I think you've remedied that.
No, we had to wait till the teams were ratified at the county board meeting last Tuesday night before we could proceed. So we're after doing it there now at the CCC meeting a few minutes ago. So there's three groups of four and one group of three with 15 teams.
Right.
So the teams, the top two, there was tough two groups were seeded. So the top seeds were Feathered, who were relegated from senior last year, along with Bursacane. Along with Mycarthy Burris, Tynolty, and Clonmelogue, who were beaten semi-finalists. And then the two the seeds two were Bursacane, Moyne Temple Tuohy, Father Sheehy's, and Rockwell Rovers, who were beaten quarter-finalists.
Okay.
And the other seven teams then were in an open draw for places three and four. So, so as we have it, Group 1 consists of Feathered, Father Sheehy's, Grange Mochler and Clonmel Commercials.
Okay.
Group two consists of Mycarthy Burris, Moyne Temple Tuohy, Lochmore Castellini and Mile Rovers. Group three then is the team, or is a group with three teams in it, and that consists of Clonoulty Rossmore, Bursacane and Cashel King Cormacs. And then finally group four has Clonmel Oak, Rockwell Rovers, Golden Kilfeagle and Carrick Swans.
Okay, I'm writing furiously, but let's go through those again. Group 1 has Feathered as top seeds, Father Sheehy's, Grange Mochler and Clonmel Commercials. My handwriting is appalling. Right, Feathered, Father Sheehy's, Grange Mochler and Clonmel Commercials, that's Group 1. In Group 2, we have Mycarthy Burris, Moyne Temple Tuohy, Moyle Rovers and Lochmore Castellini.
Correct.
Group 3, which is a group of three, we have Clonoulty Rossmore, Bursacane and Cashel King Cormacs. And in Group 4, Clonmelogue, who are the top seeds, Rockwell Rovers, and I'm sorry, I missed the last two. Golden Kilfeagle
and Carrick Swans.
And Carrick Swans. Super. And that is the draw, the group stages, if you like, for this year's County Intermediate Football Championship. That's great, and it's great to have it, because it essentially puts to bed all the draws that needed to be made.
It does. And we'll be drawn the first round games in all those, in all the groups in the senior hurling, the Oireann, the intermediate hurling and the intermediate football next Monday night.
Next Monday, because one of our texters are asking about that, all right. So the first round of games in the county senior hurling football championships, intermediate football, intermediate hurling will take place next Monday night. And if we haven't, before we go off air, we'll have them here on Tip FM.
We will do our very best to have them for you.
I know, I'm putting you under pressure there, Joe. Absolutely. And you expect the first round of games to be the first Sunday, or the first weekend in April, in football, hurling.
Yeah, in hurling will be the weekend of the 8th of April. The divisional ones are the week before, assuming that everything else is okay.
By everything else, you mean Tip not in a Division 1, Division 2 football final.
Yeah, Tip are in Division 2 football final. That might throw a spanner in the works, okay, but we'll have to wait and see. We'll
jump that ditch when we come to it.
Exactly.
Always good talking to you. Many thanks.
Okay, everyone, take care.
Not at all. Thank That's Joe Kendi, who is the chair of the county CCC with that intermediate football draw. Just go through it very quickly again. Group 1, Feathert, Fothersheehy's, Grange, Mokler, Clonmel, Commercials. Group 2, Mycarkey Boris, Mile Rovers, Moyne Temple Tui and Lochmore Castellini. Group 3, which is a three-team group, Clonmel, Tirasmore, Bursacane and Cashel King Cormacs. And Group 4, Clamalogue, Rockwell Rovers, Golden Kilfeacle and Carrick Swans. Those are the draws for this year's County Intermediate Football Championship. We'll talk to Jamie right after this.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
With John Kennedy Motors Clonmel, the home of Toyota Hybrid in Tipperary. With incredible fuel economy and great finance offers, we are making the change even easier. Visit johnkennedymotors.ie. Toyota, built for a better world.
083 311 3311 is our text number. One text says, we have two of the best forwards, this is I presume about our county footballers, we have two of the best forwards in the country and it takes all day to get the ball up to them. We need quicker ball into these lads. Somebody else says, it's only 11 scores against 18, not good enough at this level. And I think that that is something that was recognised certainly by the management, that, you know, while we're scoring goals, goals don't always win games, as we found out on Sunday, but also we need to keep that scoreboard ticking with more points. Anyway, our text number 083 311 3311. Jamie is with me in studio. Hi, Jamie.
I'm good, Ronan.
Let's talk FAI Junior Cup, because, you know, we are at the business end of it and St Michael's continue to fly the flag. Now, that's a very decent result against a decent Talca side.
Absolutely, and it could have been more. This is, I think St Michael's...
Did they really go at him, yeah?
They did. This was probably their best performance of the season. It warmed up very well last week. Of course, they scored 8 against Clonmel Celtic, and I'm sure they went into this one full of confidence. But it was a different type of performance. They pressed Talca high up the pitch. Jimmy Carr was in fantastic form, and if it hadn't been for the Callum Atkinson in goal for Talca, it could have been a lot more.
When he's on his game, he's unmarkable.
He is, absolutely. And again, you look at David Slattery, we often mention how he scores such important goals for St Michael's, and he was on the score sheet again. He never lets them down. Fantastic servant. I said Jimmy Carr got 2. It's good to see him back. He scored against Celtic last week. And they're in fantastic form. It's a clean sheet. It's a very solid performance. And, they're into the last 8 again. It's great credit to them.
And I suppose at this stage all they want is home draws.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, looking at the results yesterday of the 6 games that were played, I think the 6 favourites came through. Usher Celtic won, Pike Rovers won, Newfoundland FC won, St Michael's, obviously Newmarket Celtic are true, Merview United are true. Killarney Celtic play North End next week, and Evergreen travel to Shannon Town. So there's going to be 8 very, very good sides. And as you said, I think home advantage could be key to getting to a semi-final now.
You know, you look at that and all I can say is nobody will want to draw St Michael's.
No, they won't. They've tremendous experience. They're coming good now, which is very pleasing for them. They've been winning games all season long, but I didn't think they were really convincing up until yesterday. You know, it was a really top performance. They're finding their form at the right time. Jimmy Carr is coming into form at the right time. And, I wouldn't back against them going all the way now.
Yeah, they're finding form, but they're getting goals. You mentioned the 8 they scored last week.
Yeah, they are. And scoring from all areas of the pitch. I mean, Christopher Higgins had a goal ruled out yesterday from a corner kick, but he's very dangerous from set pieces. Paul Breen is dangerous from set pieces. Johnny Kennedy has scored goals this season coming up from set pieces. So they can score from all areas of the pitch. And, you know, as I said, I wouldn't rule them out winning this competition. Now, they have the experience. They've won it in 2014. They've a lot of that team still there.
And in fairness, Chalky, their manager, their player, well, I don't know if he play much anymore. He might be still registered as a player coach or player manager. But he knows just how lonely a place it is to lose. I don't know how many he lost before he finally got his hands on the
Absolutely,
shed,
absolutely. And even the signing of Adrian Walsh this year, he's a previous winner at FAI Junior Cup too. He's won a Munster Senior Cup at Carrick United. So they know how to get the job done. And when they get a sniff of these big competitions, they can get the job done and see it out. And as I said, they'll fancy their chances.
I always like to throw a curveball at you that you're not expecting. So here's tonight's one. There was a game abandoned in junior football in the Limerick Premier Division during the weekend. It was between Janesborough and Carew Park. Just supporters incursion onto the field. I mean, I know what you're going to say, that you can't defend it, but like, it doesn't very often happen in junior football. But when it does, it tends to get headlines for the wrong reasons.
It does, very seldom happens. I mean, I think, you know, the rules of where you have technical areas for management, you can't go up and down the sideline, you're confined to it, to that little space, very seldom happens. But look, at supporters get carried away sometimes. There's a lot of rivalry there, and all it takes is for a couple to get involved, and others a lot of the time come in to try and break things up, and it looks an awful lot worse than it is. And so it's disappointing to see it at any time, but as you said, it very seldom happens, thankfully.
Let's go back to the Premier League here in South Tip. Banshee Celtic against Tip Town.
Again, no, Banjo Celtic are on top form. Which game was that on?
Clamel Celtic played Peak Villa, but did Tipperary Town play Banjo?
Oh, sorry, that was abandoned. That game didn't go ahead. The pitch was unplayable. But Clamel Celtic went down again badly to Peak Villa.
Now, let's just talk about this. This is Clamel Celtic at home.
It is.
And they conceded 8 against St. Michael's, conceded 5, is it?
Yeah, 5 again yesterday. Look, it's a tough time for them, and they're heavily depleted with injuries. And when you're scraping for 11 and you're bringing new players up, I mean, they had to play young Kevin Hawkins in goal against St. Michael's last week. The last two teams you want are St. Michael's and Peak Villa when you're struggling for numbers. It's a difficult period for them, but I think that they're due a free weekend next weekend. They'll welcome that. Hopefully a few players can get over injuries and they'll get a full complement back on the pitch, because when they have everybody, of course, as we know, they're a match for anybody. But it's a difficult time for them, and they just need to stick together, see it out. As I said, they'll welcome the break next week and hopefully get everybody back.
Well, this sets up Peak Villa ahead of the big Thurles Derby in the Munster Junior Cup. That's the last 16 tie, and that takes place at Peak Villa's grounds next Sunday. Difficult one to call, but Peak Villa look like they're in a bit of form. But they lost that guy, the 19-year-old guy, who's gone to Limerick.
That's right, they did. But
something.
Yeah, but look, I mean, Thurles Town, they scored 8 yesterday, so they're not in bad shape themselves. They beat Clochjordan at home. But yeah, Peak Villa, I actually thought a few weeks back when they lost heavily to Banjo Celtic, and then they beat 2 Mile Boris 2-1, but it was a struggle for them, and I just wondered, you know, was this it for Peak Villa? You know, were they going to be able to recover and come back? But they had a great win last week against Nina Celtic in the Munster Junior Cup. Obviously followed up yesterday with a great win against Celtic. So it's the game of the weekend next weekend. It's one everyone is looking forward to. And as you said, Ron, it's very, very difficult to call it.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you to, but like, whenever a TSDL team goes up against a North Tip team, you tend to give the nod to the TSDL team. But I think that's just a bit... Well, it's not quite complete analysis, is it?
I think Thurles will win it. I think the experience they have, I think Noel Byrne will just have them so fired up for it. His heart rate, I can't even imagine what it'll be like next week, because...
And the loss of Ronan.
Yeah, Maguire. Yeah, Maguire. Big
is,
loss.
It is a significant loss.
It is, but no, look, I think he's recruited remarkably well, Noel Byrne has, for Thurles Town. They have some top players. They signed 2 players from Evergreen only 2 weeks ago. So, as I said, very experienced side, and I think they might just edge it. Peak Villa will have the youth, they'll have the energy, they'll have the pace, but I think experience might just come out on top. But look at it, I mean, there's going to be very little in it.
Do you have no results in front of me, so apologies if I pick another game that was abandoned due to a bad pitch, but the Tipperary Cup took place. I'm just looking for the old Bridge Care Park result.
Yeah, the Bridge won a 3-2 after
big
extra
win.
Time.